Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.
I'm absolutely delighted to welcome back to the studio a Paralympic table tennis player and a man who's certainly making big waves in the sport at the moment. A good friend of the show as well, Jack Hunter. Spivey, morning to you, Jack.
Good morning. Good morning.
Right, you've been on the show a few times. We sort of know your potted history by now.
Yeah.
But the last couple of years has been an interesting time for you.
Yeah.
You came back from America in December with a bit of a trophy and some success.
Yeah. I played in the US Open in Las Vegas in December. And I was seeded four for it. I managed to come back with the gold medal. So it was amazing. I mean, it's a lot of hard work went into last year. Trained really, really hard. Some ups and downs personally. And yeah, to beat the current world champion in the semi-finals and the former Paralympic champion in the final was unbelievable. I mean, I only lost two sets the whole tournament. So to do that at the end of the year, when I'd been focused for all the year, was amazing, really. It was just a good payoff for what I've put my work in for.
That's an amazing piece of success. For people who don't know your story in the sense of getting to the Paralympics, that was always the goal for you, wasn't it?
Yeah, I started table tennis when I was 10 in a youth club. I'm not from the wealthiest of background, so I went to like an after-school club for disabled people, and then we got like an evening meal and we met some other people and stuff there, and table tennis was there. I heard London won a bid for 2012 on the radio, and I wanted to be a Paralympian from there. I was obsessed with it. I watched every Paralympic sport on YouTube. I watched every table tennis video. I was annoying my mum at 12 o'clock at night, banging the ball against the wall. And yeah, it's been a long old journey the last 12 years, but I've made it. And I can say I'm a Paralympian. That's a crazy feeling for me.
Absolutely. You show dreams can come true. You're in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
Tell everyone why you're in a wheelchair.
I was born with cerebral palsy. Yeah. So I was born, I was born disabled, but I was actually born blind and deaf till I was 9 months old. And the doctor said I'd never walk, talk, do anything. And then suddenly 9 months old just came back. And then I got diagnosed with cerebral palsy when I was 18 months old and I wasn't able to sit up on my own and I couldn't crawl and stuff like that. And then, ever since then I've sort of had to adapt to life being disabled, which is, for me, I know it sounds a bit cliche, but I don't really see myself disabled. I'm just a lad who uses a wheelchair. Some people walk, I use a wheelchair. Like, that's the only way I look at it. I don't see myself as any different. I don't see myself in more entitled or anything like that. I'm just a normal lad.
Just get on with it.
Yeah, just get on with it.
You saw the Paralympics as this incredible achievement. Has it almost been the platform for where you've got to since then?
Massively. My life has changed massively through table tennis. I mean, I can't thank sport enough. I can't encourage people enough to get into sport. I mean, I was that shy kid, very frustrated about being disabled at 10 years old, wouldn't speak to anyone, wanted to walk everywhere because I wouldn't use a wheelchair. And now look at me, I'm travelling the world, I'm a professional athlete, I've played in the Paralympics and I'm going around schools and businesses and giving inspirational talks, and that's just crazy to help other people. And my life centred around table tennis, but I couldn't be more thankful for what it's done for me.
Your story's remarkable. So, Vegas.
Yeah.
You went into that tournament thinking what? I mean, surely you were thinking, oh, I'm not going to beat the world's best here.
Well, I always go to every tournament thinking I'm going to win.
Do you? Have you got that mentality?
Yeah. I wouldn't play something if I didn't think I could win it. So,
right. You're a bad loser as well.
Yeah. I'm very competitive, put it that way. I was training really well going to Vegas. I looked at the list.
Let's give people an idea of your training because it's fairly intense, isn't it? You train over in Sheffield.
Yeah, I moved to Sheffield when I was 18, so 4 years ago now. I play table tennis roughly about 25 hours a week, and then I have about an hour and a half gym session every day. And then you've got to include your meetings with your psychologist, your nutritionist, with your strength and conditioning, with your lifestyles advisor. I'm basically working 9 to 5 every day, trying to be the world's best. So
it's incredible how every angle is covered. It's not treated as if, you know, we should do this half-heartedly.
No.
You're talking about psychology being a key role within the sport for you in disability sports.
Yeah, psychology has been a massive part for me in table tennis. I mean, when I was younger, I trained really hard, but I got so frustrated every point I lost. I got very frustrated in different aspects. And the sport psychology is a massive, massive part of table tennis because it's like high-speed chess. That's the best way I can explain it. Because what you do with the ball, I have to look at what you've done and counteract what you've done and put something else in the ball for you to stop it. But that's going at 0.3 of a second. So the psychology behind my body language, the way I can conduct myself in between points, the way I can use my towel, the way I can get into your head is very subtle, but it's a massive, massive change.
What do you mean use your towel?
So every 6 points you can towel down. So you can. But if I... Usually for me, I have a towel and down routine, so I'll fold my towel a certain way, I'll wipe my face 3 times. In that time, I can slow the game down, so I can be a little bit longer with my towel within the rules, or I can be a little bit quicker. So right. you can, if your opponent's feeling a bit nervous, go, I can get some quick points here. Or if you're feeling a bit nervous, you can calm down, you can relax, you can get yourself centred. And if, say if he's got big momentum, if he's won 4 points in a row, I can mess with my chair, I can fix my feet or on my chair, and I can slow the game down to the pace I want to play at. Because I don't necessarily want to play point after point. I want to get into my routines, and that's a big part of it for me. It
has to be at your pace.
I'm dictating the game to him. He's following my rules, basically, subconsciously. So
the towel thing isn't just because you're anal about how you like to fold your towel.
A little bit. It's a bit of a ritual. So I feel like that. I'm gonna play well if I do that. So it's a bit of a ritual. But a lot of it for me is I'm taking my time doing that. You're following what I'm doing. You have to wait for me to do stuff. So that's just the way I play. Different people play different ways, but that's the way I look at it.
Do you think other countries are teaching their players in the same way? Is that a...
Yeah.
Do you come across the same sort of styles in psychology and routines?
Yeah,
and...
definitely. I mean, GB are definitely the world's leading on Paralympic sport, in my opinion. I think we've got the world's best setup. I mean, you look at the Institute of Sport where I train at the moment, we've got some of the world's best athletes, coaches, physios. Like, we've got all the best setup. I think, as far as I'm aware, Paralympic telethon is the third or fourth biggest Paralympic sport in the world. So a lot of countries are doing what we're doing now, but I still think we're edging it. I think UK sport lottery funding has helped us massively. I can't thank them enough for the support that they've given us, not only me but the whole Paralympic teams and the Olympic teams, because we are at the top, in my opinion, of the sporting table at the moment.
I always get you to relive the story of the one point that really mattered when you went out to China, because I think it's so relevant and it's so interesting. My wife was listening to the chat that we had a couple of months ago, and she was saying, why that... You know, that one instance where Jack had to overcome his one point changed his life. Just tell us the story of it again.
Yeah, just briefly. So I've grew up around mental health. My mum's not been very well. She's struggled with mental health. I've struggled with mental health myself. And me and my mum were very, very close. We've helped each other through massively lots of things. And the one person that I told when I was 10 years old that I'd be a professional athlete and be a Paralympian was my mum. Nobody believed me. Nobody thought, oh, it's table tennis. You can't be professional at that. And so to qualify for Rio, I had to be top 10 in the world to qualify, and I'd had a bit of a rough season, and it ends up a combination of I have to go to China and win every match to qualify to get a 10th spot. We worked out the points, and that was the way it had to be. So I'd played really well, got to semi-final, got to the final. We played best of five in table tennis, so first of three sets and to 11 points. So I was 2-1 down in sets and 10-9 down in points. So if I would have lost one point, if I would have lost that point, I wouldn't have been going to Rio. I would have lost my job. I would have had to move back to Liverpool, move in with my mum. That was my dream over. The coaches had told me, if you don't qualify, that's
it's finished.
It. That's it. It's dog eat dog in sport, and there was someone else behind me. So, yeah, that was it. And luckily, I won that point. I managed to get the ball back and won 12-10. It's one of them moments that at the time I was focused on what I was doing, but looking back, such a scary place to be in. And I remember at the end of it, just ringing my mum and... I rang mum and said, Mum, I've done it, I'm going to the Paralympics. And it was just so vivid in my mind, just thinking about what my mum was saying, and she was crying and I was crying. It was one of the moments that we've both worked so hard for. Yeah, and luckily it paid off. I mean, I'm a big believer in everything happens for a reason, and there was some reason for me to win that point that day, and it happened.
A defining life moment, but also a moment where psychology came to the fore for you
massively.
As well.
I mean, I used my tactic. I didn't get too nervous. I was focused on what I was doing. I was focused on what my opponent was doing, and luckily I had the edge that day. So, yeah, it's the marginal gains. It's the 1% gains we talk about in sports all the time, and it worked out for me.
We're talking with Jack Hunter-Spivey, wheelchair table tennis player, para-athlete as well, who is attempting to dominate his division in 2018. Just before we get back to what you hope to do in 2018, you're just telling me off air then a story it makes you really angry. I mean, it's hard enough to sort of get your funding and get everything right as it is for yourself and your family, but you've suffered a little bit of heartache in the past few weeks.
Yeah, I mean, my mum has moved from Liverpool down to Chichester. She's got a new boyfriend now, and she moved down there. And in the process of her moving stuff from Liverpool to Chichester, some thieves came into the backyard and took two of my wheelchairs. They were worth about 10 grand between them. They also stole my little sister's bike that mum had saved up for ages, a trampoline. They'd ransacked the whole house.
They've taken your wheelchairs?
Stole two wheelchairs.
Ones you'd use for competitive table tennis?
They were my spare chairs. So luckily I had my table tennis chair in Sheffield as well as the chair I'm using. But if this chair breaks, which it's very close to breaking now, I don't have another backup chair. And they've gone now, which I was looking to donate to someone if I wasn't going to use them. But they've gone. But luckily, everyone's safe. I mean, it's the third time in my life I've had a chair robbed off me at the moment. So it's one of them things that it happened in about, I think it was November time, and the police have put it in the papers recently trying to put an appeal out. So I didn't necessarily know it was going to be in papers. But yeah, it's one of them things that I'm glad my mum and little sister wasn't there. But equally, mum had saved up quite a lot of money for the Christmas presents and everything like that, and yeah, he stole my wheelchair. So.
Yeah, thankfully no one's hurt, but £10,000 worth of wheelchair there. And actually, if you do know anything, do the right thing. Please let Jack or at least the authorities know about that. So two wheelchairs worth an awful lot of money. Right, Paralympic table tennis this year, 2018. You've won the US Open in Vegas, so that's put you on a platform to head into 2018 thinking, what, you're going to be the number one in the world?
Yeah, why not? I mean, I'm training hard enough. I mean, I feel like I'm one of the best world players in the world. I'm currently ranked 7 in the world, but I've beat most of the top players ahead of me. We've got the World Championships this year. I'm looking to go for a medal. I mean, I'm going there to win it, but a medal
is... that's September, so it's quite a few months away.
End of September, start of October. So we've got a little bit of while yet. I'm hoping in the tournament leading up, I can get myself into the top four to get a seeding position to make it easier for me to get a medal. So that's my goal for the next three tournaments I've got coming up, is to do what I did in Vegas and to dominate and to get some ranking points out of the World Championships.
Those two big players that you beat in Vegas, is that quite a momentous milestone for you?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
So who were they and what were their rankings?
I beat the world number two, who was the current world champion, in the semi-finals, and I beat the world number four, who won the gold in London. And he came fourth in Rio as well. And the world champion also got silver in Rio as well, so... the two massive players that have dominated your last year or so, and yeah, I've beat them both twice now. So
table tennis big in Vegas, is it?
We're in Vegas, maybe.
Is
not
it the
so
Mandalay
much,
Bay or the nothing like that. Right, so table tennis, you don't tend to hear that much in terms of people playing.
Yeah,
is it a thriving sport at the moment?
It's a strange sport. In terms of everyone's played it, you speak to anyone, they've played it when they were a kid in school or in a youth club. I always get in taxis and he's like, oh, I can beat you, I used to play in school. Or like, everyone's played table tennis at some point. Competitive table tennis, I believe, is on the rise in England. I believe the membership fees for Table Tennis England, membership numbers are going up, as well as the fees, but that's another issue. Of Table Tennis England are going up all the time. So the sport is definitely rising. I mean, it's a great sport for me, especially because I can play against able-bodied people and not be at a disadvantage, not so much of a disadvantage. I can play with my friends. The rules are very easy to get, so you can put two people by the table and two bats and you know what's going on. It's a sport and you get bitten by it. I mean, everyone loves how to play it. When you play it at some form or level, they'd love playing, so...
it's a brilliant game. You play able-bodied people as well, don't you? And you were pointing out to me off-air that some people... you know, are looking at you and going, oh, he's in a wheelchair, he's probably not that good.
Yeah.
But actually, in terms of yourself playing an able-bodied person, that's something you've done for a long time.
Yeah.
And even to the extent you've been ranked extremely highly in Cheshire, the Northwest.
Yeah, yeah. When I first started playing table tennis when I grew up, I was playing quite a lot of able-bodied leagues. I was playing some tournaments able-bodied because there wasn't a lot of disabled tournaments around and I didn't know too much about how the Paralympic movement worked. Before I moved to Sheffield, I was playing able-bodied. That's where I used to get my training. Mm. At one point, I was ranked 5 in Cheshire for able-bodied table tennis. I've played for the Cheshire senior team, junior team. We've won the junior league with Holton. I've done some good stuff in my time.
Been on a brilliant journey. Absolutely brilliant journey. 2018, I'm sure, is going to be hugely successful for you. Any other trips, world trips that you're on?
Yeah, I'm quite busy at the moment. I've signed in the Bundesliga this season, so I'm the first British guy in a wheelchair to play in the Bundesliga. So once a month I travel to Germany, play with my teammate. I play for Konvestheim, which we're currently ranked 3rd in the league. And I've got a match in 2 weeks' time. If we win that, we could go top of the league towards the end of the season. We've got two more matches left. So there's big pressure on that because the people are beating Vegas also play in Germany. So there's some big matches coming up soon. But I'm in Germany. I've got the Italian Open coming up in March. I'm also playing the English National Championships in the Copper Box in London at the start of March as well. So yeah, these next few months are quite busy for me as well. So yeah, I'm always busy. I'm always travelling up and down the country doing something. So yeah, I'm never doing nothing.
Jack, great to see you again. Is the necessary funding in place? I know sort of you get some lottery funding. Do you still need support, is it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm getting lottery funding. I only receive at the moment £9,000 a year of lottery funding. So I'm currently living off about 10, 11 grand a year. So it is very tough considering I've got my own flat and my bills come to about £800 a month. That's without buying food. So I'm struggling, but yeah, I'm just looking for sponsors at the moment. I can put logos on my kit. I can do appearances. I can talk for people. And I feel I've got a lot to give companies. It's just reaching out to companies. That's what I'm struggling with at the moment. I'm not business minded. So
what I would say is your motivational speaking is incredible. When you talk about your life journey, if anyone out there is listening, and is maybe thinking of a motivational speaker, Jack is absolutely sensational. If you like his contact, give us a shout.
Your guide to Merseyside sport. The Kickoff.
Radio City Talk.